And now the political and economic situation here has been relatively stable in comparison to other places. And that is the reason why Dubai and Abu Dhabi have been the base of the largest Chinese expats here in the entire Middle East and North Africa. You don't find this anywhere else.
Welcome to the China MENA podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Fulton, a senior non-resident fellow at the Atlantic Council and a political scientist at Zayed University in Abu Dhabi, United Arab Emirates. In our last episode, we discussed some of the factors that have put a ceiling on the China-Iran relationship. One factor that is often overlooked is the deep levels of political and economic engagement between China and Iran's neighbors and rivals in the Gulf Cooperation Council. China has comprehensive strategic partnerships with Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates, putting them at the same level of diplomatic standing as Iran. And Qatar, Kuwait, and Oman all have strategic partnerships with China one level down. But it's in economic terms where we see the real difference. China consistently trades much more with the GCC than with Iran, and Chinese companies have an exponentially deeper footprint on the Arabian Peninsula than anywhere else in the Middle East, North Africa. While the China-Saudi Arabia relationship correctly gets a lot of attention, I would argue that Beijing's most diverse and sustainable Arab partnership is right here in the United Arab Emirates. Beyond the frequent high-level official meetings, there's a fascinating social element at work as well. The UAE is home to by far the largest Chinese expatriate population in the region, with thousands of Chinese businesses operating here. In 2020, the first Chinese state-sanctioned international school opened its doors in Dubai, and the Chinese language classes have been built into the national curriculum. So, what is it that is bringing these two distant countries together? To answer that question, I am delighted to introduce our guest, Professor Wang Yuting. Yuting is a professor of sociology at the American University of Sharjah in the UAE. She's lived in the Emirates for over a decade, and in 2020 published a fantastic book, Chinese in Dubai, Money, Pride, and Soul Searching. I can't think of anyone who can tell us more about China-UAE relations. Yuting, welcome to the show.
Hi, Jonathan. Thanks for having me here today.
Oh, of course. I'm so happy you could do this for us. So, Yuting, I want to ask you first about your book. What can you tell us about the Chinese community in Dubai? Why did they come here? How long has the community been here? And what keeps them here?
Excellent questions. And those are the questions many people have asked me, and which led me to do research about my own ethnic community here in the UAE, and eventually led to the writing of the book and then, you know, the publication of the book. So here we go, to put this in a nutshell. The Chinese community has been here actually since the early 1980s, but they were in a very small number at the time. And the growth is really driven by China's economic reform that deepened in the 1990s, and especially by the end of 1990s and early 2000s. And, you know, we had this the new policy that encouraged the small to medium enterprises to go out, and which has generated a steady flow of Chinese into the new market here in the Middle East, especially the oil-rich region and the Gulf. And so that's how the Chinese started coming to this part of the world. And then, as you can tell, the driving force is mostly economic. So they're mostly, you know, voluntary economic migrants. But over the years, and the population has also become quite diversified in terms of their occupation, and they have always actually been quite diverse in terms of social class. And so they have been here for actually quite a long time, but yet, you know, they're not quite noticed. I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about the Chinese community in the region, and because their concentration in trade and commerce. But what I've seen is a vibrant community that has grown exponentially since the end of 1990s and early 2000s, and in the last two decades in particular. And we've seen the diversification of professions amongst them. And so that's a short sort of, you know, overview of the Chinese community.
No, that's great. You know, one thing you said that really stood out is they're not entirely noticed. And I'll talk with my students sometimes, and mention how many Chinese people are actually living here, and my Emirati students are shocked. They'll say, I had no idea. And they think mostly it's centered around, well, as you know, to our listeners, there's a massive Chinese retail complex in Dubai, which I'm sure Yuting will talk a lot about. And I think most people think it's basically that's ground zero. But, you know, again, in your book, you show that it's actually really quite spread out. Just for our listeners, you say it's a big population. I've heard so many different numbers. Do you have a sense of how many Chinese actually live in the UAE?
Well, it's actually difficult to tell, especially since the beginning of the pandemic. The most up-to-date number that we have was shared actually by Her Excellency, the Consul General, Li Lingbing, back in June 2018. And so she put the number at 270,000 in Dubai alone. So in the entire Emirates, and then we're looking at somewhere around 300,000. And then this is also one of the reasons why there was such strong interest in building educational institutions here. Not really for the expatriate community and from other ethnic groups, but then to cater to the Chinese. And so that's something that you mentioned earlier, and the opening of a Chinese school in the midst of the pandemic. That was actually quite amazing.
That is amazing. 300,000 would put China at one of the larger single country communities in the UAE. Of course, the UAE is really a very diverse country. But like you said, it's not always obvious that there's a huge Chinese presence. We know there's a huge Indian presence or Filipino expat era, but to have 300,000 Chinese people living here kind of flying under the radar, I think is really interesting. And it has a lot of implications. I mean, not just economic, but also political, security. It really does kind of alter the landscape in the region, I think.
We don't want to over emphasize, you know, the presence of the 300,000. Actually, they mostly, you know, lie low, and they're very low key. And now that is one way to describe them. I think another way to describe them would be, you know, probably reluctant to engage. I think, you know, this is one of the characteristics of the community.
Why do you think that is?
I think there has to be discussed actually in various ways. And then first of all, the Chinese expats here in the UAE focus primarily on economic outcomes of their migration. And so they tend to be quite cautious in other aspects of their social life. And that's one thing, you know, there's an emphasis on economic security, financial, right, well-being, instead of on, you know, social, cultural engagement. But then probably most importantly, we have to look at the barriers due to language differences and, you know, the cultural differences. And most Chinese expats living in the region are not Muslims. And they actually found themselves actually quite alienated to a great extent living in a majority Muslim region. And a lot of these communities live also, you know, apart from, you know, each other. And they like to huddle with their co-ethnic groups. And that made it extremely difficult actually for these newcomers from China and to find this niche and to really engage. And of course, you know, you also have the typical problems that expats face. That is, you know, the kind of transitional lifestyle here in the region. And people don't want to invest too much actually while they're here. And so they have very strong tie with China, but not building much here. So I think some of these issues now are facing the second generation. You know, we are looking at actually the growing second generation here, who are either born and raised in the region or have been brought by their parents and at such young age. And then they are actually investing themselves now in the region. I think, you know, that's going to have what you meant, you know, the implications of this presence here. And we're yet to see the outcome, but I think, you know, that's going to be another very interesting topic for sociologists, anthropologists, or interesting Chinese expats here in the region.
there's so much in there that I'd like to talk about, but we'll come, especially the question of just identity and faith and this as well. It reminds me of a few years ago, I was interviewing different diplomats here in Abu Dhabi. And when I talked to a Japanese diplomat, and I asked how many Japanese citizens are in the UAE, and he knew almost the exact figure, you know, because it was something like 1,260 or something like this. Like he knew exactly, he knew which cities they lived in. And about a week later, I was talking to a Chinese diplomat and I asked him the same question. And he's like, I have no idea. Maybe 200,000, maybe 300,000, maybe more, maybe less. It's so hard to keep track. There's just so many people here. It seemed really overwhelming. One thing I want to ask, I mean, there are huge Chinese diasporas everywhere, right? I mean, you know, and like you say, sometimes it's not always obvious. My wife is from Quebec in Canada, and in Quebec City is a very, very French city with a surprisingly big Chinese community that I just never knew about until I spent some time there. So Chinese communities are all around the world, but are there unique factors that draw Chinese people to the Middle East or to Dubai?
Very good question indeed. I think, you know, in the studies about Chinese migration or, you know, the main focus of Chinese diaspora, it has always actually been in Southeast Asia and in North America. Then there has been interest in studying Chinese trade communities in Europe, but you know, Middle East has been this, you know, black region, and it's really unknown. And why? Because the Chinese are not really attracted to the region for a very long time until recently, as I mentioned. And so the influx of Chinese actually began toward the end of 1990s and early 2000s. So you know, they have been here for just about two decades. And no, one of the reasons has to do with the economic opportunities here in the UAE and in the Gulf region and in Middle East and North Africa in general. As economic migrants, and they seek out markets that have potential. And so some of these developments in China, especially since the reform began, and then the developments here in the Middle East and sort of coincided. And so that's that was one of the impetus that had driven Chinese merchants and traders look at these unconventional markets, right? So that's an economic goal has been there, economic and driving force has been there to push them to other parts of the world and to seek out. And so the first wave of Chinese migrants or Chinese expats, for lack of better words, right? Were the ones who were quite adventurous, actually, risk-taking traders. And you know, they're not really the ones that, you know, we would describe as entrepreneurs, but then they were the first generation were eager to look at these unexplored markets. And then the going out policy that was developed in 1999, and in the early 2000s has really generated this kind of interest among this new generation of Chinese entrepreneurs and who are looking at possible destinations and to kind of, you know, try their luck and then to really kind of test the water. I think, you know, the increased number of Chinese population in the region and really sort of, you know, becomes a barometer of China's its own economic development, as well as the development here in the region. And so that's something that I found quite interesting. And then this, you know, a flow of population is very closely linked to the broader sort of political economic context.
So one thing I've noticed, you know, I, as you know, I track China-GCC relations pretty closely, and over the years, you see a lot of patterns. So, you know, here in Abu Dhabi, around 2016, 2017, we start to see a lot of things move after the Crown Prince, Mohammed bin Zayed, traveled to Beijing and met with Xi Jinping, and they signed a lot of deals. And suddenly what we saw in Abu Dhabi was a lot of Chinese companies and groups from Jiangsu province. kind of came to Abu Dhabi. And then we saw in 2017, you know, in Oman, there was a lot of talk about this project in Duqm, and we saw a lot of people from Ningxia. So it seems like, and again, like that's why it's great to have a sociologist here to ask, is this, you know, do these large consortiums or local groups or networks, are these people that are traveling together, they see an opportunity, and you know, kind of as individuals or as groups do it, or are they being directed by the state or by like the National Reform Development Commission or ministries? What is it that's making these kind of, and also in Dubai, what do you see? Is are there localities or provinces or cities in China that are more deeply represented in Dubai?
Right. Actually, I think there's a little bit of everything here. And so you have these individuals and who, for various reasons, they have been attracted to the region, whether they're adventurous entrepreneurs, or you know, they had a personal interest in the region or some sort of family ties. But then you also see groups that has been sort of pushed actually by state policy and also by some of these locally developed development plans, and especially in the northwest region, such as the province of Ningxia. So then you have some of this younger generation of Chinese and then who have been attracted to global city, and the city Dubai. And so you have a little bit of everything, but then we do see these regional differences actually, even within the UAE. Abu Dhabi actually has drawn a large number of state-owned enterprises. So most of these companies actually concentrate in Abu Dhabi, and the people who work for these large corporations, they lead a very different life than other Chinese traders, merchants, or professionals who live in Dubai. And their life is much more institutionalized. I don't know if you noticed that, you know, they mostly would actually rent these large villas, and where, you know, the Chinese employees would actually share the same living space, and they have they actually have built their own cafeteria, and then they hire chefs and, you know, helpers from China. So they still live in a Chinese environment. They rarely reach out and engage with other Chinese living in the country. But people in Dubai, the Chinese people in Dubai, however, they're much, much more diverse, and then they're also much, much more active. They're not bound to state-owned enterprises, and they do not respond and to the state policies and to that extent. And so they're much more flexible. And so they find their ways to engage with other expat communities. So I can see actually in recent years, especially since pandemic began, there's much more engagement happening now at different levels. But most of the engagements were actually grassroots movements and done by people who have been here for a very long time, have really invested themselves and then have developed some sort of emotional attachment to the region. Yeah, they're becoming more and more like other expats, maybe, you know, the Indian expats and the Filipino expats, than, you know, the people who work for the state-owned companies and who are on rotation basis. And, you know, every 3 years they would, you know, be relocated to another location. And so they don't really have that kind of interest to develop social ties.
I absolutely recognize that here because, again, you have just so many much, much, much better Chinese restaurants in Dubai.
Right.
And in here in Abu Dhabi, I mean, really, I know that over the past few years, especially since a lot of these big SOEs have come to Abu Dhabi and Khalifa Port and doing really big contracts in Abu Dhabi Global, but we don't see a Chinese community here the same way you do in Dubai, where you can just be walking along the creek and see Chinese characters on a sign and go, oh, you know, so it does feel different. You've got interesting experience as an expat yourself, right? Like you did your PhD in the US, didn't you? So you've got...
I lived in the US about 9 years.
So you've got like a comparative, like as a sociologist, you can study yourself and you can see these differences in your expat experience in the States or here in the Emirates. But just generally, for Chinese expatriates who live in the Gulf or live in the UAE or live in Dubai, are there particular challenges that people talk about?
Absolutely. Living abroad may be an invigorating experience, but it's also essentially quite challenging. And so I think the biggest challenge that the Chinese face, and it's just like everyone else, and that is the transition of sort of lifestyle here. People don't really find a sense of belonging because of the lack of naturalization here. But at the same time, I think, you know, they also enjoy this kind of temporality, which makes them very mobile. And that actually places them in the category, actually on par with those global trading executives, and where, you know, they privilege the few in this, you know, globalization. And so it might be illusion, but yes, you know, they have become more mobile than their counterparts back in China. But then it comes with challenges, of course, family. And it's very difficult to maintain family for these expats who live here. I think one of these biggest issues that in the Chinese communities are concerned with right now is education. You know, how do you raise your children here? Especially, as they spend longer and longer time, and then they're looking at, you know, their second generation growing up here. And they are Chinese, obviously, but then, you know, they have also been exposed to various cultures, and they are accustomed actually to the local conditions. So that is another challenge. But I think, you know, another challenge that hovers above everyone's heads and has to do with the political, economic conditions here in the region. Unlike other migrants in North America, in Southeast Asia, we don't really have indigenous Chinese population here. Everyone's new. And the longest staying Chinese expats probably came in early 1980s, so they're still not very old, and then there are very, very few of them. So most people have been here for a decade, and then actually I have been here for 13 years, and then I'm around, you know, among this kind of, you know, the long-term staying residents here in the UAE. So and then this is something that is challenging, because you don't have this kind of social networks that would help you to understand the currents, the political currents, and then the economic currents. And so we have to be actually very careful about where they invest and what they invest, and then, you know, when you have to withdraw from the region. So I think that is something that's always talked about in the community. And now the political and economic situation here has been relatively stable in comparison to other places. And that is the reason why Dubai and Abu Dhabi have been the base of the largest Chinese expats here in the entire Middle East and North Africa. You don't find this anywhere else.
Yeah, I remember when I was doing my, you know, research for my PhD, so maybe 9 or 10 years ago, and there was a Chinese banker who lives in Dubai, but he'd been operating in the region. Most of his contracts were in Saudi, but, you know, he made sure his company set up the regional HQ in Dubai, because he said, you know, we find this a very comparatively comfortable, you know, compared to where in Saudi you're navigating not just different cultural experiences, but different approaches to religion, or, you know, things that might be hard to understand. So it does have a pretty big appeal, I think, here. But still, like you say, a lot of people come and go pretty quickly. You've been here, you said 13 years?
Yes.
Yeah, this is my
16th. That's been very long.
Yeah, and we're like the old people, right? Like, everybody's like, oh my God, yes, You've been here so long. Yeah, it's strange. I mean, we constantly see people come and go all the time. And yeah, for us, I mean, we all both have young kids, right? So with kids growing up and their friends just constantly are moving, it's a very unusual experience, I think.
But what's interesting is that I've seen Dubai becomes a hub of broader Chinese diaspora, actually, in the Gulf, and even actually stretch as far as Ethiopia. You have entrepreneurs working in Ethiopia, but set up their family base here in Dubai. And, you know, they have been enabled by these, you know, the very well developed and the roots of Emirates airlines, and then so they maintain this kind of, you know, connections, and then on and then different continents, in fact, right? So the central location of Dubai has really broadened up the reach of Chinese communities. So these are not just family ties, and they are also economic networks that they're expanding, based in Dubai, and radiates far away into Africa and into Europe and Central Asia.
And South Asia.
As well.
Yeah.
Yes.
All over the Middle East. I mean, this is something I keep bringing up, especially with my students, to say this is such a smart source of security for your government, because when you're in a competitive region like the Gulf with aggressive neighbors like Iran, to have these huge populations really does provide a lot more security. And also the fact that the UAE is hyper-connected, that it's a logistics hub, it's a safe business community, that, like you say, you can set up a home base in Dubai, but service contracts in East Africa, in Egypt, and Central Asia. It really does explain why this place is pretty successful in a lot of ways, yeah?
Yeah, and this is one of the reasons why Dubai has become more and more interesting and an attractive destination for Chinese migrants, the mobile ones, and who are always on the edge and to find out more about the new markets and the new opportunities.
So what are Chinese people doing here then? I mean, we know in Abu Dhabi, they're here with big SOEs. In Dubai, I assume there's a lot of regional headquarters in Jebel Ali and Jafsa. But, you know, if there's 270,000 approximately, I mean, you must see the whole spectrum. You know, are we seeing a lot of small businesses? Are there a lot of service industry jobs that cater specifically to the Chinese community? You know, what do you see?
You're absolutely right. The really, you know, there's a very wide spectrum of businesses, projects, and that are going on and are operated by the Chinese. And so most of them, I would say, still concentrate in small to medium businesses, and then mostly operates around dragon marts. And well, it is true that dragon mart is the face of Chinese community here in the UAE, and everyone would automatically associate Chinese people and Chinese community or even China to dragon marts. That is the fact, right? And therefore, I think, you know, we are unlikely to find Chinese everywhere else. However, they really do spread on a very wide spectrum. So we have these highly educated Chinese, and especially the younger generation who are in their late 20s, early 30s, and they're educated in Europe and North America. And they have come to Dubai for various reasons. And many of them actually work for multinational corporations, and then now they're relocated to Dubai. And so these people, they're actually quite active. And then they also sort of, you know, we would actually refer to them as part of the creative class. And maybe, you know, there are actually quite a number of artists here in Dubai. And maybe, you know, they actually have become quite successful in the Chinese art market. Yet, you know, they're not so well known by the China UAE scholars. I think, you know, there's something sort of, you know, overlooked because the focus has been always on trade. And so, you know, you have some of these very interesting individuals here. Some of those work for Fortune 500 companies. So that's at one end, you know, creative class, and very innovative, very engaged, because they had no language barrier. So they fit right in with the sort of, you know, the elites here within the expat community, or even have, you know, developed this very meaningful relationship with Emirati. But then on the other sides, right, you have Chinese laborers, workers, and now we don't see many of them now because COVID. But yes, in Sonapur, for example, you see them there. I mean, there are very, very few of them, but yes, you know, they were there. So you have this kind of, you know, the other side, the other extreme sides of Chinese presence. So you have these wage workers and, you know, who have come here and to try to sort of, you know, make a little bit more money and then, you know, send home. So you have this kind of migration. But then these are odd examples. Most people will be in the middle, but then they are engaged in different kind of trades, and many of them are small to medium businesses. And then you have I think what is interesting is that, you know, we see growing investments of capital in education, in training facilities, and in the medicine. This is something that probably, again, overlooked by many, or probably unheard of. But then there are a sizable population who are engaged in providing educational services, and then medical services, and then of course you also have bloggers and social media and celebrities.
Instagrammers.
Now they have actually they have made their fame actually broadcasting content created here based on their life in Dubai, and they have gathered actually quite a fan base in China. So there's a fascination about Dubai, and the stories have been told actually from the eyes of these social media startups, and then the bloggers, and they've done actually wonderful things really to introduce the region and to China, the big market that is waiting actually to now come back to Dubai, and maybe very soon.
So one thing I find, you think the UAE does a really good job of promoting religious tolerance here. This is something that the government has spent a lot of energy and effort on over the past few years. You'll find churches, synagogues, Hindu temples, the whole spectrum. Does this make living in a Muslim majority country easier for Chinese people? And also, I mean, China has a huge Muslim population, of course. Are there a lot of Chinese Muslims who are living here in the Emirates?
Yes, indeed. There are a large number of Chinese Muslims living in the UAE. I think especially in terms of the concentration of Chinese Muslims in Dubai, it's difficult to find another site in around the world, actually, with this kind of large Chinese Muslim community. And so there's something quite special about the presence of China here in the Middle East. The religious policy implemented in the UAE has been quite positive, I think, as it perceived among the Chinese community here. It has given a lot of flexibility and also allowed more engagement, actually, between the non-Muslim Chinese and the Muslim Chinese. And there was a book actually published many, many years ago on Chinese Muslims, and then the title was The Familiar Stranger. And it was actually a very interesting book about Muslims living in China, the northwest part of China especially. But I think, in the UAE, I would say the Muslims are no longer strangers to most Chinese working and living here. And the longer people spend time there, and then the inevitably, they will make social contacts, actually, or even become friends with Chinese Muslims. And then the visibility of Chinese Muslims in the UAE, in Dubai in particular, is quite significant.
Yeah, so I remember I was talking to some friends years ago when I first moved here. I had North American friends who were Muslim, and they said they found it much easier, living here than living back home in the US or Canada or wherever, just because, if you are a Muslim person living here, everything is just a lot more convenient. You don't deal with a lot of the same kind of issues or prejudice or issues that you might face at home. So I imagine for Chinese Muslims, it's probably a similar situation where it's a pretty comfortable place to practice your faith and not feel any kind of issues there.
Indeed, but if I may, I just wanted to add another layer of their experiences here. So the Muslim Chinese who live in the UAE has also actually served as a bridge between China and the UAE in many ways, and they have become very important cultural capital, in fact, and that's have served many functions in the society actually between China and in the Gulf region and the rest of the Middle East.
Yeah, so that's always something that surprises my students, because they have not a lot of experience with China or Chinese people And, you know, like everybody, I think we easily resort to stereotype. And when they learn about the religious diversity within China, to realize there's a huge, you know, what, 20 plus million population of Muslim people in China, that's something that always surprises them and I think makes them more interested. Which is, I guess, what the next thing I want to ask you about is, I mean, living here for so long, what do you find Emirati perceptions of China or Chinese people or Chinese culture? You know, has that changed over the years? Do you see people looking at China in a different light these past few years?
Yes, very clearly, I will say. Based on my own experiences and my research, I think the perceptions have changed very visibly, in fact. And the opening of these, you know, the Chinese language centers actually has facilitated these exchanges. And then, of course, you know, introduction of Chinese language courses to public schools in the UAE have further, you know, strengthened the ties between China and the UAE. So all of those actually are quite positive. When I first came here, I think, you know, people have didn't know, actually, I would say, what to expect, right, from a Chinese person. They knew so little about China that they often found it difficult to understand my presence here in the UAE as a scholar, as an academic, as a teacher, because most Chinese would concentrate in trade and commerce. So that's a stereotype about China. It's mostly about low-cost commodities and being traded in bulk and to entrepreneurs, I mean, to business people actually from the Middle East and from Africa. But then now the perceptions have changed because we are seeing a growing number of Chinese investors, and they really challenge the stereotype about China. But it's not always a good thing to be perceived as people who are equipped actually with the financial capability and who are looking to invest in the market. I think that's, again, also a stereotype about the Chinese. Now, many of my students have taken courses with me about China, about East Asia in general. And in fact, this semester, I'm again teaching a sociology course on East Asian societies. And all of these discussions we had actually in classes and have helped them and to decipher some of these confusing or conflictive, right, descriptions about China. So I think, you know, as more and more Chinese, especially the well-educated ones, enter the UAE and, you know, settle down here and become more engaged, and the perception will inevitably change. And so there is an interest, actually, and a desire among Emirati students to learn Chinese and the language itself, learn Mandarin, and to kind of, you know, try to understand more about China. This generation, college-educated Emirati, have become really, you know, the new connection, I think, between China and the UAE, because they are eager to understand and to learn. And then they're also actually quite aware of some of these problems with media portrayal of China. So they wanted to come to their own understanding and conclusions about China, Chinese society in general.
I think that's a really interesting point, Yuting, because my students have, again, China still seems like a very far away place culturally, linguistically, historically. My students don't know much about it. What they say in class often are these big statements of how important China is, but they don't really know much about it yet. And I can see this next generation of students who are coming down the pipes are going to be different. It's an interesting time for us to be here. If we come back in 20 years, I think we'll see a very different environment. Or maybe we'll still be here in 20 years. Who knows? We'll see. So the last thing I want to ask you about, a lot of our audience is not here in the Gulf or in the Middle East. A lot of folks will be in the US or overseas, except, of course, for our students who are probably listening and watching us. What do you think is important for people to know about China's growing presence here in the UAE and the Gulf?
Well, the takeaway point is that we have to keep open-minded actually about the development of China in the region. And I think, you know, we see a lot of interesting phenomena now that's actually happening in the last two decades, but in a really sort of, you know, speed up recently. After pandemic, I'm sure, you know, the Chinese will actually again, you know, come back and into the region. But I think most importantly would be this growing diversity and this developing institution within the Chinese community, and which is going to lead the Chinese presence here much more enduring than temporary. And so you're going to see this growing diasporic community very much like, I hope maybe it's too early to say that, but then I think, you know, given my observation in the last decade or so, and also looking at the developing second generation Chinese expats living in the region, I think they're becoming more and more like other long-term residents in the region. So that is one thing. And I think, you know, another an interesting aspect would be this, you know, sort of the cultural and social exchanges actually that is being driven by these young people and who are interested in promoting, right, China's cultural industry here. There has been actually some of these events organized by the younger generation of Chinese entrepreneurs and who very much seek to establish the connection between China and the UAE using the modern language of postmodern art, really. The electronic music, art, and then of course, you know, social media, all of these actually are happening. And I think, you know, the old or the stereotypical image about China, focusing on trade and commerce, and will have to be replaced by sort of a more open-minded understanding of what Chinese are doing here. And then the future of China-UAE relations. I think, you know, even at that level, you'll see some of these grassroots developments will eventually, you know, have an impact on how China is dealing with the UAE. It's definitely becoming much, much more multifaceted and multi-layered.
Thank you so much, Yuting. This has really been great. You know, as you know, I'm a political scientist, and I tend to look at the bilateral relationship in terms of geopolitics or economics. You've done a really great job of putting a human face on it for me and for the listeners who've joined us today. Everyone, please check out Yuting's work. We're going to put a link to her book on the landing page for the episode. I always have it this close. It's a fantastic book. Other than the book, is there anything that you'd like to promote, any work you have that's coming out, or any research projects that you think people should hear all about?
Yes, you know, I'd like to share a little bit about my ongoing project with the listeners. And then so maybe, you know, they will contact me and volunteer and to join my research. And right now, actually looking at the flow of medical resources into the region from China. And really actually trying to understand the medical entrepreneurs from China and who have found a new home here in Dubai's global medical market. So yes, you know, this kind of alternative medicine has become really, you know, strong in Dubai. And so while in the past people would travel to other parts of the world, okay, to you know, receive treatments as part of the, you know, sort of what we know as medical tourism, Dubai is on an Abu Dhabi as well as positioning themselves as the next destination for medical tourism. And then the Chinese entrepreneurs are looking at this market and they are very interested in exploring this. And then in particular, actually, I was looking at Islamic medicine here, Chinese Islamic medicine. And that's something probably, you know, most people have not heard about before. And so if you've ever tried Chinese medicine and you wanted to chat with me about your experiences, I would be very, very happy and to talk to you. So yeah, that's an ongoing project. I'm looking at, you know, the intersectionality between religion, religious practices, medicine, and of course, entrepreneurship.
That is fascinating. You know, one of the great things about what we do, whether you're a sociologist or anthropologist or political scientist, there's just so much work to be done. And it's like we can just wake up and throw a dart and say, okay, I'll work on that. There's just so much great stuff. Yuting, thanks so much. This has really been wonderful. To our audience, thank you for joining us. Follow us on social media, subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll see you next show. Thank you very much.
This podcast was produced by Heartcast Media.